Thank you for tuning into the Greater Harvest Baptist Church Worship Hour. Our church is located 1617 West Saratoga Street, where the Reverend Earl D. Gilliatt Sr. is the pastor. We encourage you and invite you to join us in any of our worship experiences every Sunday, 8 o'clock a.m., 11 o'clock a.m., and then at 5 p.m. is live at 5 from 5 to 6 p.m. Every Wednesday, 12 noon to 1 o'clock p.m., and Wednesday night, midweek worship from work to worship, 7 o'clock p.m. We encourage you to join us in any of our worship experiences, a church reaching generations for Christ. Remember, a church where it's okay to not be okay. God bless you.
You good? Yeah, y'all good? Okay. I don't want to blast your eardrums and everybody wearing hearing aids next Sunday. God is kind. Turn to Exodus, the 14th chapter. It's a blessing to be alive. I know one thing, y'all got enough heat in here. I mean, y'all must got that thermostat set on hell. It ain't. I mean, really? Oh, I'm not ready to go outside and hold church. But I want you. I come in cutting up, right? Look. Look at Exodus, the 14th chapter. Amen. Let's see what God has to say.
Amen.
In Exodus, the 14th chapter. And I want us to look, if you will. As Moses and the people of Israel are making their way out of Egypt. Can nobody deliver us like God can? And I want you to look with me at verse 26. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. When the morning appeared, the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all of the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them, and their right hand on their left hand. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians, somebody say, dead upon the seashore.
Dead upon the seashore.
And the Lord saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. And they believed, they feared the Lord, and they believed the Lord and his servant Moses. And they feared the Lord, and they believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Give me at least 15 minutes, is that all right? And the servant Moses. The narrative, the Exodus narrative, I don't care how many times you read it, over and over, it never ceases to lose its fascination. Yeah. And I make that statement because the embodiment of evil that is depicted in Pharaoh and his army, evil at its highest, arrogance, evil at its worst, level of pride, finds itself going up against not just the God of Moses and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, but the God of all the world, the one true God. What Pharaoh represents from a spiritual perspective, he represents the stubborn stronghold of satanic oppression that evil representation in Exodus lives for you and I just how tenacious and stubborn some strongholds are to break. Right in the entire storyline of Exodus, there's this continuous, repetitive contest between not Moses and Pharaoh, but between Pharaoh and Yahweh. Yeah. One need to understand that in the mindset of the Egyptians, along with their Egyptians' cosmogony and their Egyptians' theology, Pharaoh was considered a son of Re, or the word armor Re, the sun god. He himself was considered a god. And he felt as though he was just as much God as God was. We know that because when Moses was commissioned to stand before him and say, "Let my people go that they might worship me," Pharaoh says, "I don't know the Lord. Who is the Lord? I don't know him. That I should let Israel go." When he speaks from that particular perspective, he's literally saying, "Your God doesn't have a calling card among the gods, the many gods of Egypt." The people of Egypt believed in what theologians call polytheism, the worship of many gods. As a matter of fact, the more gods a nation had, the more richer it thought itself to be. Israel, with her one god, was pitiful in the sight of all the nations who had so many gods, war gods, fertility god, god of agriculture, the rain god, the god who brings, causes crops to grow. They had a god for everything. But Israel bragged about her one god. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God." He's one God, but he's the God who's able to do all things. He's the God who commands heaven's hosts. His armies outnumber the armies of any other god. To the end that Pharaoh felt within himself that he was being slighted by Moses and his no-name God. His I am God. What kind of God doesn't even have an identification, doesn't have a name? What Pharaoh didn't realize that God is so awesome, Moses' God is so awesome, that one name wouldn't do him justice. If you're hungry, need it, he's Jehovah Jireh.
All right, all right.
Need a wonder worker, Jehovah Shaddaiah. He's El Shaddai. Whatever you need, God was able to become it for you. He didn't just provide it, he became it. If you needed bread, he became the bread. If you needed water, he became the water. If you needed rest, he became the Lord our Sabaoth. He became what you need him to be. Thank you, kind spirit.
That's the kind of God you and I still today have to do with. Listen to Jesus. I am the bread of life.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God. He becomes whatever. He doesn't just supply what you need, but he becomes what you need, so there's never a need for what you need. I think that's a pretty good God to have. That's why he said to Moses, tell him, I am that I am. I'll be whatever you need me to be. Just understand that I'm never I was. I'm always I am. I will always be what I am. I'll never be a past tense. I'll never be a has-been God. God, I love him for it, don't you? Pharaoh had a problem with this God. This no-name God. This God who could not be, if you will, imaged. He had no representation. Nothing on the earth looked like him. Unlike the other gods who had all types of peculiar forms and images. Head like bird and body like a man. God made in the very image of nature and creeping, crawling things and flying things. But this God of Moses was a God who was invisible but yet invincible. Oh yeah, he was a God you couldn't see with the natural eye, but he had a way of showing up in some strange places and doing some strange things. Standing on mountains, you find him burning in bushes. You could meet him if you were looking for him. And even if you weren't looking for him, he had a way of manifesting him. So he'd come down in the form of a man, call himself an angel. He just had a knack for just showing up in all kinds of ways, because that's the God who's unlimited. He's too much for you and I to try to box him in. That's why you got to be careful how you try to put labels on him and try to define him and put your little limitations on him. You never know how he's going to show up and then show out in your life. Sometimes he rides in windstorms. Sometimes he'll come in the storm. Sometimes he'll come in the whisper. Yes, he will, of the night. Sometimes he'll just show up in a whisper. Sometimes he'll show up in the form of a gentle, peaceful dove. Sometimes he'll show up, I tell you, in the form of an earthquake or thunder. It doesn't matter how he show up, Lord, just show up. Just show up, just show up, just show up. He's a God who can do whatever he wants to do, how he wants to do it, when he wants to do it, because that's his sovereign will. He can do whatever. He's the God who's omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. Everywhere at the same time, and at that time, he's nowhere. At times, you're right over your doorpost. The glory of the Lord has departed. Sometimes when you and I get beside ourselves, he'll just go another way. But yet he's still omnipresent. David said, where can I go from his very presence? If I make my bed in hell, there you are. If I take the wings of the morning and fly to the utmost parts of the world, where thou art there. You got me surrounded both front and back. If I back up, you're there. You're in my past. If I step forward, you're in my future. If I stand still, you're in my present. If I look to the right, there you are. If I look to the left, there you are. Where can I get? I can't get away from you. And every time I think I'm getting away from you, that's when I meet you rock bottom. And I'm going to tell somebody tonight, I don't care how much you try to mess your life up, thinking that God won't have anything to do with you, that's where you're wrong. You can mess your life up to the point where nobody else wants you but God. You better listen to me. You better listen. You better hear this tonight. But there's some folk who actually think they can mess up so bad. Now, maybe God won't want. No, that ain't never going to be. If God wants you, God will let you ruin yourself so that the only place you can go is to him. Is there anybody in the house? No, he'll do it. God will let you get a wreck as long as you are tall so that you can't get a job in a pie factory. Get you to the place where you're almost homeless. You'll stand around and have to go to God. God, only you want me now. God, that's what I've been trying to do it the easy way, but you want to do it the hard way. Come on here, won't he do it? So don't to tell your neighbor, don't waste your time. Just go on and tell the Lord yes. Yeah, let's go on tell the Lord. Yeah, Lord, yes, Lord, yes. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes. Yes, 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 yes. Don't let me mess up my reputation. Don't let me mess up my resume trying to be rebellious and trying to be disobedient. Oh, God, help me to say yes now. Pharaoh had a problem with God being God. Like many of us, we've got a problem with God being God. And that problem lies in the fact when God is God, he has full control. Most of us want to hackle with God, want to haggle with him. We want to cut a deal with him. And God said, I'll have none of that. What I say, I mean, and what I mean, I said. If I called you to sacred duty, end of the story. You can't haggle with God. You can't manipulate his plan. You can't chump him down. You can't trick him. You can't cheat him. I hear God said, if I asked you for all of it, give me all of it. Don't hide none under the mattress. Give it all to me. Because I'll come and get every bit of it. And I get it and lay claim on it because I am the rightful owner of it. I want all your gifts. I want all your talent. I want all your strength. I want all your creativity. God said, I don't want some of it. I don't want a third of it. I don't want a fourth of it. I want all of it. You shall love me with all your heart. So as we close, look at the text. The text says that Pharaoh had his problem with God. And so when he discovered what letting Israel go meant, it meant an upset in his economy. It meant the end of cheap labor. It meant the end of having his oppressive power on somebody else's neck. It meant now that other nations got the word that Pharaoh is leading his people to a place of defeatism. He's been defeated by a God you can't see, a God you can't touch, and a God you can't handle. Pharaoh is losing grip. And with that mindset, the Bible says he makes his way to pursue what God has already delivered. You can't pursue what God has set free. You can't bring back into captivity that which God has loosed. You cannot rebind that which God has loosed. I don't care how much you talk about it. I don't care how much of their past you dig up. I don't care what you think you know on them. If God set a man free, he's free. I don't care what you know. What you know might be true. You might have tangible evidence. You may have empirical evidence. But if God says, I've set him free, all of the evidence you got stacked against him will not hinder God from getting the glory out of his life. I just want to tell you, if God ever set you free, there's nothing the devil nor the deep blue sea can do to bring you back where God has brought you out of. Come on, shout glory. And when God brings you out of your Egypt, you ought to leave all your Egyptian behavior right there in Egypt and come out with a new walk, come out with a new talk, come out with a new mindset. Understanding, you may not like what God has done for me, and you might not be able to appreciate what God has done for me, and you may not understand what God has done because I don't understand it. But one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Whereas I was bound, I'm loosed. Where I was down, he picked me up. And all I need to know is I'm loose now, and I don't have to go back to that. I ain't beholden to that no more, because when God brings you out, he brings you out to stay out. Why don't you tell yourself, we ain't going back no more. Yeah, there's some places God didn't bring you. You ought to let God bring you out that pity party. Some of y'all living in a pity party. You ought to ask God, come get me, come get me, come get me, come get me. I'm tired of crying the blues. I'm tired of feeling sorry for myself. I'm tired of folks looking at me like I'm the last rose in the summer. Will you please come and get me? Come on, give him glory. Have you ever been invited to go somewhere that you didn't want to go, and you told somebody, look, call me around 9 o'clock and say something happened. I got to come home. So now y'all know I was a rascal, right? Yeah, every now and then, you ought to get to the place where there's some places I just can't stay. I just can't stay. This ain't for me no more. Call me up. Get me out of this. Come on, come on. go for. I went to let them know I'm still alive. I went there, so I want them to see what God has done for me since the last time you saw. I didn't go to stay. I just went to show off what God's favor would do when he put his favor. Come on, give him glory. Give him praise. When God brings you out of place, you ought to thank God he brought you out to keep you out. But yet there are forces that don't want you to get out. There are forces that don't want you to get free. There are forces that's always dogging your footsteps, trying to take you back to where God has brought you out. Sometimes it's memory. Memory will creep up and memory will say, now don't you remember when you had a good time? How can you call a good time that which made you miserable? And now you looking back, talking about those were the good old days. The devil is a lie. There wasn't no good old days. Those days were filled with hell, oppression, and distress. Where I am now look better than where I was. Do you wish you could live over? No, I don't want to do that over no more. Let me close. Y'all look like y'all tired already. I'm hot too. Yeah, listen. Trust he about to give me a heat stroke in December. My God, I'm about to break a record. And the people of Israel were happy. And let me tell you something, ain't nothing wrong with being happy when your deliverance comes. And sometimes you ought to say like Isaiah said, when the Lord told Isaiah, he said, look, behold, I'm about to do a new thing. But then he come right back and said, can't you see it? Is already beginning to happen. Come on here. Don't you know some things that you don't have? The man ain't got to bring it to your door. Just the fact that the truck is coming down the street and you know you got a delivery on the truck. It ain't even got to get to your doorstep. You just stand and say, Lord, here it come. Here come that 56-inch television. Here it come. I know it got, I know it's on there. I know it's mine. Anybody know God got something for you? Well, you ought to begin to praise him right now before it get to your doorstep. Because once it gets, if you praise him right, he'll bring it in for you. Every now and then you ought to see what God is doing before he does it. Before he bring it to pass. You ought to see your deliverance before deliverance get there. You ought to see your healing before the doctor declare you healed. You ought to see it when the doctor says it. You ain't got to tell me. I already know. Well, that's why I'm praising him. Because I saw it before you saw it. But there's always somebody. There's always something that really doesn't want to allow you to get out of your Egypt. And when you get out, there's always somebody to try to make you think you ain't all the way out. You got to say to that demon, no, he done set me free. He done set me free. He brought me out. And they got down to the end of the road, dead end, I like to call it. Still on the Egyptian side. But I want to tell you, it's all right to shout while you're still on the Egyptian side. Come on, give him glory. I remember before I got fully delivered, fully saved, I was still out there in the world. I knew my day was coming because I was getting happy in my spirit for no reason at all. You're not hearing me, you know. I mean, I had a good time on Friday nights and that kind of thing, but there was something about Sunday. I don't know why I would just get anxious about going to church. When everything about me was different, that said totally opposite of church. If you looked at Friday night's activity and Saturday's activity, nothing about me said church. Nothing about usher boy, nothing. But I was going to church because I knew something. That day, February 15th, I knew something was going. I don't know what it was. Something hit me that something going to happen to you tonight. I don't know. I just kept saying, something's going to happen to me tonight. And it did right there on Fed Street on 1063 on a Sunday night evening service. We were standing there singing, I don't know what you come to do. But I didn't know about that, but they had me singing up there with Peter Ray and this other group. And my godmother sitting on the side. I'm standing there singing, I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise his name. And I was up there singing a lot. And the more I sang it, the better I started feeling.
Yeah. Come on, preacher. Because I didn't come to do no prayer. I came to look and run the skirts. But I was standing there singing, I don't know what you come to do. I don't know what. I come to praise his name. His name. I come to shout for joy. Wasn't doing no shout, just standing there. But all of a sudden, this is true, and all of a sudden, something hit me.
Yes, sir.
I mean, hit me. When I looked up, I was running around the church. And doing that same raggedy dance you see me doing, I ain't never had no rhythm, ain't trying to get none. All I know, something got a hold of me, and it didn't turn me loose after the benediction. I went home a wreck.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
A Holy Ghost wreck. And I remember getting on the phone, and I called my father up. He was at his girlfriend's house. He was a single man. He had a right bitty woman house he wanted to be in, as long as she didn't have a husband. Listen. And I said, Daddy, I think the night I got saved. He said, oh, you been drinking? I said, no. You been smoking that mess? I said, no. He said, well, how you know? I said, because I can't stop crying and I can't stop shouting.
Yeah.
And he said, I can tell in your voice something happened to you. Then I called my godmother and told her, I said, I can't stop. She said, you won't be able to stop it. This ain't a come on. You can't turn this off and on. It's got to take you down. Talk to me. Because when you're over there in Egypt's side, ain't no harm and feeling and sensing that God is getting ready to break the chains of Pharaoh off your ankles. Ain't no harm in beginning to give him praise of what you, Lord, what I want you to do. Somebody here tonight want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Well, let me tell you how to do it. All you got to do is give him praise and begin to get glad in your heart, because the Holy Ghost falls on a glad heart. He doesn't fall on a sad heart. He falls on a glad heart. David said, I was glad.
Thank you for tuning into the Greater Harvest Baptist Church Worship Hour. Our church is located 1617 West Saratoga Street, where the Reverend Earl D. Gilliard Sr. is the pastor. We encourage you and invite you to join us in any of our worship experiences every Sunday, 8 o'clock a.m., 11 o'clock a.m., and then at 5 p.m. is live at 5 from 5 to 6 p.m. Every Wednesday, 12 noon to 1 o'clock p.m., and Wednesday night, midweek worship from work to worship, 7 o'clock p.m. We encourage you to join us in any of our worship experiences, a church reaching generations for Christ. Remember, a church where it's okay to not be okay. God bless you.